2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to begin in verses 1 through 5. Today is going to be prophecy day. I'm going to interrupt Matthew and also Joshua to bring something that's been on my heart. How many times have you been with somewhere or talking with somebody about what's going on in the world? Or you see it on the news, you hear them talking about it, and you say something like, it's the times we live in, right? It's a sign of the times. And we're more true about that than we know. But there is also at the same time a myth out there among God's people that we can change prophecy. And that is a fallacy. Prophecy is set. And it's going to come pass, Matthew 24, just like the Lord's going to say it is. Now there's going to be pockets of revivals. There are going to be churches that are growing. There's going to be people getting saved in America. But God's plan is already set. And you can't change that, you know. I had a man one time tell me as we were going through Revelation, he said, oh, this is so bad. Can't we change it? No, you can't change it. Prophecy is set. It's going to happen here. And anybody that believes otherwise is just believing a lie. Now, this passage here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the one tonight, I believe, in chapter 4, talking about how to minister in the last days, is very beneficial to us. They tell us that this passage here, along with Matthew 24, tells us that there are difficult days ahead. There are difficult days ahead. And there has been, but they're going to increase, they're going to multiply, they're going to be more fervent as we get closer to the Lord's return. And so here Paul begins in verse 1 of chapter 3, talking about the times we live in. And at the end of the message, I'm going to give you a shocking context to this passage. Okay? This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Paul is saying that perilous times are coming, right? Shall come. I mean, they're not here now, but they're going to get even worse. They shall come. The last days, if you've sat under my teaching for any length of time, you know the last days began at the first coming of Jesus, Hebrews chapter 1, 1 and 2, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. The last days began when Christ came as a babe in a manger. And they go all the way to the second coming, when he comes after the tribulation period, in his glory, and we come with him, and we reign and rule with him in the millennial kingdom. So the last days, if I could say it this way, is a period in which God is completing his purposes for his people. He says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. The word times does not mean chronological time, but periods of time, epochs or seasons. And we've been in this in the church age. We went through sacramentalism, that's the ism, all the isms, the Catholic Church, materialism, ecumenicalism, all faiths can be one, throw doctrine out the window, and pragmatism, throw the Bible out the window, do church any way you want to do it, right? We've went through these epochs and these seasons, and we're going to continue to go through them as we get closer to the Lord's return. So within the last days, there will be seasons or epochs of different kinds of that become more frequent and more dangerous. And you heard about Canada, Trudeau, that godless man, what he said. If you Canadian pastors preach against sin, against homosexuality, that you can convert a homosexuality by the gospel, you're going to spend 5 years in prison. And it's coming, folks. It's coming to, that old song Neil Diamond used to sing, it's coming to America, right? And it's coming to us as well. And times will get worse and worse and worse. And that's why I started reading the scripture this morning in chapter 3, verse 14, where Paul is talking about to Timothy. Evil men are going to grow worse and worse, but you continue in the things which I have taught you, right? So it's going to be a difficult time. In fact, he calls them in verse 1, perilous times. Now the word perilous means dangerous, grievous, difficult, hard to deal with, savage. And this is the same word used to describe, remember the two demoniacs of Gadara in Matthew chapter 8, verse 28? The violence that they had. He's talking about perilous times, violent times. It would be energized by demons. And if you don't believe me, read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Not only will demons be released in the tribulation period, but they're going to be doing their work also in the church age, and in this regard. So this morning, this is I'm going to look at this exhaustive list of the character of the last days that we live in. We're just going to read them and make a little comment about them. Won't be much exposition to it. But I divide these last days, the character of the last days, down to two things. People without love. You think we're there? People without love. And then false teachers that stray from the truth. They have no substance. They preach wealth, happy, prosperity, gospel preachers, they call themselves. That there is no substance to it whatsoever. So let's look at the first division, if you will, and that is people without love. We're going to find these in verses 2 through 4. And this group makes up 18 characteristics that people have in the last days that's going to grow worse and worse. They're not going to love God. They're going to love theirself more than they love God. You know people like that, right? In fact, as I read through these characteristics, you'll probably come to mind about somebody in your life or somebody you used to know, right? So let's begin with the people without love. First of all, we'll begin in verse 2. Several of them listed there in verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Look in verse 2. A lover of self, self-love, has its focus in the wrong object. Our love is meant to be directed to God Almighty. Amen? And they love their self more than they love anything else in the world. People, you can always tell them, you know, when you run across them, they love their self so much. Well, you see it, right? You see it all over the worldly TV. You see it all over, this show, that show. You see it. They love their self more than they love anything else. God and the things of God take a back seat. If you don't believe that, look at Facebook. That's a lot of people on Facebook that love their self more than they love God, right? Okay, that's what I'm looking for. We got one amen anyway. I only call it MeBook instead of Facebook. And we use Facebook to get our message out. But I don't use it like a lot the world uses it, right? The Bible says that we should worship God, love people, and use things in that order. Love God, love people, and use things. But we live in a world today that says, ignores God, loves things, and uses people. You see that backwards? And then he says, lovers of money, also in verse 2, covetous. We often call this materialism or a craving for things. The more stuff I get, the more successful I'll be. But you need to remind yourselves that rich people commit suicide as well, right? But Paul's not speaking of a warning essentials or necessities. We believe as God's people, he said, I'll take care of your needs. But it is wrong to love money in an inordinate love that you have. The love of money, not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. Y'all pretty quiet this morning, like I might be stepping on your toes. I don't know. You know what to do when the preacher's stepping on your toes? Act like he's not. Just say amen. Okay? Lovers of money, covetous. Now, this is the prosperity gospel being preached today. I don't know how Benny Hinn and how Kenneth Copeland and how Marilyn whoever and all them others out there, Joel Osteen, can even have a ministry in a COVID time that we live in. How can you promise health, wealth, and prosperity to anybody in this time we're living in, right? It's beyond me. But it's all about you and material gain and physical health, right? And then they call boasters. I started to say boosters. Well, boosters can go in the wrong direction too, right? That's the way the college is going. But boasters, boastful is a byproduct of self-love as well. A braggart brags about himself. That's what braggarts do. they brag about themselves, what they have, how they got it, and nobody else is going to get it. Have you ever noticed the difference between, if you watch Christian TV, very little of it, it's all this health, wealth, prosperity gospel, but sometimes they can have a good teacher on there. You ever noticed how their programs are introduced on TV or radio versus the charlatans, right? With the charlatans, it's all about them, right? But with a true teacher of God, they put the focus on Christ and on God, all right? Are y'all with me this morning? All right, some of you look like you might be thinking about, I don't know, but you know, mine's not here, right? And so they're boasters, and then they're proud and arrogant, it goes on in our text, self-exalting and selfish. They think they are superior. The false teachers trust in themselves and then their own self-righteousness. They're proud or arrogant is the next sin. Self-exalting and selfish. And then blasphemers or blasphemous or revilers. These are the abusive and slanderers. People who elevate self will have disdain for others. You ever noticed how the cancel culture goes after, if you don't believe exactly like they believe, they're going to destroy you. And make no mistake, they can do that, right? They brought down one after another. If you speak out the truth about this or the truth about that, they will come against you. And who was that just the other day? I was speaking out and about the truth about something that's happening in our time. And the cancel culture began to investigate that person and went back years ago when he used an N-word, right? You see what I'm saying? But yet, if you're a Democrat, you can use the N-word and you still have a job the next day. But they can destroy. That's what the cancel culture does. Revilers. Disobedient to parents. You see that? Children are born with a bent to self-will and disobedience. We know that. You know, you don't have to teach children to tear up something in the house. You have to teach them not to tear it up, right? And they're disobedient to parents, self-will. And this is the kind of, this is why we're in the condition we're in, folks. I don't blame the teachers. I blame the parents, right? You know, if you look at the conditions of some of these children they have to live in, it's a wonder they're even going to be raised up, you know? And it's just amazing. It makes me mad. And y'all know how I act when I get mad, right? But it makes me mad. And we live in a permissive society. The baby's born. We're gonna let the baby decide if it's a boy or girl. Right? I mean, come on. How stupid can you be, right? You know? I told y'all about little Sophie that Faye keeps. How old is Sophie, Faye? 18. She was laying there on the bed, and I go in there to help carry her sometimes in there and take out the dirty diapers. That's my job, right? And little Sophie looked at me and says, I'm a girl. She knows something that even smart people don't know today, right? It's so crazy, you know, having a transgender swimmer, transgender man swimmer racing against a transgender woman swimmer. Look how far we've gone down, right? And then also unthankful, ungrateful. They feel they deserve everything and are unthankful when you get something. You ever gave anybody a present or something, you never heard a thank you from them? You never got a card from them? Acknowledged that you sacrificed so that they could have that gift. Y'all ever happen to y'all? Right, okay. At least you're shaking your head like that. We're coming a long way here now. An unholy person is driven by self-love to gratify their own sinful lust and passions. That's what people today are. They don't care about who it's going to hurt or, you know, what is evil is now good and what's good is now evil, right? They're just going to fulfill their own passions in these things. And then notice in verse 3, without natural affection, the self-loving person does not love those things that they should be natural to them to love, right? You would expect children to love their parents, right? But look at the times we see on TV or the news where the children kill their parents, right? One just the other day. I can't remember, right? Without natural affection. I'm like most commentators here on this verse. They don't believe he's talking about homosexuality or same sex. He's talking about what people naturally should love, their family. They don't, right? And it's going to be getting worse and worse like that. You know, you have families today encouraged by Democratic leaders to turn in their family if they don't wear their mask or if they don't get their vaccine. Turn your family in, right? That's just a precursor to what we're going to see in the tribulation when the Jews will turn each other in during the tribulation period. Truce breakers. These are the irreconcilable who refuse to change. They want their own way no matter the consequences. It's going to be my way or the highway. False accusers or malicious gossips. He wants to harm others with the tongue. And, you know, that's all they got to do is put it out there. In fact, your life is ruined, right? All they got to do is just putting something false out there. It don't have to be any factual. We know that today, especially NBC, CNN, ABC, NBC, and CBS, they just report things. And they don't have no sources, really, to back up what they're telling you, right? They're telling you. They're not telling me because I don't watch it. And so false accusers, malicious gossips. The Greek word is diabolos, which means accuser. That's the name of Satan, right? From the pit and the fire of hell, the tongue can be used this way. There's a little restaurant here in Thomasville called Diablo's, you know. And I know people that won't eat there because the word means Satan, right? Are y'all with me? All right. I don't know. Y'all not connected today or something or another. Take that little plug you got in your hand and plug it in that little receptacle in front of you in the pew. Plug it in. Let's go. Y'all ready? Wake him up. Plug it in to the back of that pew. Let's get going, all right? All right. Okay, some are past the plug. But incontinent, without self-control. This doesn't mean what we think it means when we get old, right? Incontinent or without self-control. Uncontrolled passions. Uncontrolled passions. And then he says fierce or brutal. This is self-love unchecked and becomes brutal. I mean, how can a man on a subway come up behind a little old lady and push her in front of the train track? That's happening in New York. I would tell you, I will go tell you what I tell everybody else. Don't go to New York if you value your life, right? Despisers of those that are good or haters of good people. They call evil good and good evil. See, we become the enemy in this cancel culture world because we stand with the Bible and we stand with God. And then in verse 4, we got a few more to go. Traitors or treacherous, lack of genuine friendship and loyalty, right? Oh man, how many times have we seen that in our lives, right? You thought they were your friends, right? My best friend, I don't see him but once a year. We was raised up together in Coolidge. And he's my best friend. Why? Because you don't have to be, well, I forgot what I was going to say about him, but I know I can trust him. All I got to do is pick up the phone and call him, right? And then heady and high-minded, that means what it says. You're conceited and egotistical. Some people walking around with their head so high in the clouds, it's all about them, right? It's all about them. You could be telling them, I could be talking to him, Barbara, like I'm talking to you right now. Not really. I'm talking to everybody through you, right? But if I said talking to Barbara, and at the same time I'm talking about them, they want to interrupt me and tell them what's going on in their world, right? No, that's not right. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You see that? The true God has no place in their self-centered life. They love darkness more than light. And then the second category I see in the text is people without love. Look in verse 5, if you will. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Having a appearance or a pretense of godliness, but deny the power thereof, from such turn away. form of godliness, having an outward shape or appearance, right? Come to church, look like you're a Christian, right? Dress like a Christian, carry your Bible, right? And but they lack what it takes to be a Christian. They appear to be right with God, but have no substance, right? You begin to ask them questions. They don't even know how to witness. They don't even know the gospel. You know, and yet they call themselves a Christian. We are told to avoid these people and avoid these men. No matter how nice, as we go through this life, as we get closer to the Lord's return, charlatans and the false church, Satan's church, are going to be prevalent. They're going to grow. And what we need to do is make ourselves, no matter how nice it sounds, no matter how charming it sounds, they make me feel good. No matter how that happens, you are to turn away from them and not have anything to do with them. We're to make ourselves run from them, really, literally, and their teachings. Now, I want to close with a shocking context. You might think he's talking about people in the world. But as you look at the context of chapter 3 and 4, he's talking about false teachers and false believers. In verses 5 through 8, he tells us that in the context, he's talking about false teachers and false believers. These people said in church. We're not talking about the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. We know what they are. He's talking about false teachers. He's talking about false believers, right? Read verses 5 through 8, right? And you'll see that right there. So we need to, no matter how uncomfortable it is, no matter how much they come against us, we need to stand for truth. We need to stand with the Bible. We need to stand with Christ, right? Now tonight I'm going to talk to you about how to minister to people in these last days. You know? I'll give you a little hint. Chapter 4, 1 through 5. How do we minister to these people in the last days? The same way we always ministered to them, right? Amen. And so we'll look at that tonight. You don't want to miss tonight. I'm going to share with some principles about how to live and how to minister in these last days. As our musicians come, Father, I pray this morning as we begin to go into invitation time. I pray, Father, if there's anybody in our church that is swaying or has swayed or has been leaving the truth of the gospel, or they have been loving other things more than they do the things of God, or they've been putting other things ahead of God, whatever it might be, we pray, Father, for a time of invitation. The altar is open. They're welcome to come. And come, and I don't believe in rededicating and rededicating and rededicating your life. I believe in confessing your sin and walking in obedience. So we ask that to be done this morning, Father, that we in these last days would speak truth, that we would not be ashamed of the gospel, ashamed of truth. We'll speak up and tell them what the Bible says until you come for us, whether by death or whether by rapture. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right, if we get your hymn books, let's stand. Please turn to page 237. Page 237. Why do